This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. And by the Flash Pulp Podcast, monsters, magic, and moles, three times weekly at flashpulp.com.
You have all been found guilty of witchcraft and consorting with the devil. If you would save your souls from perdition, repent now and confess your sins.
I confess.
Go on, child. Did you sign a pact with Lucifer?
You ever get the feeling God has too many enemies? This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
One. It's like a gopher having sex over there. Three. This is the Film Sack. Welcome to Film Sack, everybody. It's Film Sack, episode 120. Film Sack is the show that mines the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. I'm Scott Johnson. And joining me tonight, Brian, American talking dudes in the Middle Ages, Dunaway.
Right. Yes, I am stricken. I got a wicked case of the dry lip. I mean, look at my teeth. They're all stuck to my upper lip like a naked otter boy on a leather couch. Birdface doctor, man. Fetch me a goblet of water for this thing on my head, Pops. Wait a minute. I'm a cardinal. Is that why you guys have bird faces? I'm delirious. Fetch me a goblet of water for this thing on my head, Pops.
Oh, my gosh. You just told the movie. The whole film. Way to spill the beans. Also with us, Randy Bloody Rope Fingers Jordan.
Aloha, Brian, Scott, Brian. This week on Film Sack, we go on a road trip. We've got all the elements of a road trip movie. We have a precious cargo, the need to get from here to there, a wacky cast of characters who really need to get to know each other if they're going to, you know, find true meaning and everything, and a lot of adventures to get in along the way. All we're missing is a car, a road, a Cameron Crowe soundtrack, and a reason to give a shit.
Still looking for that reason. Finally, Brian, jumpy lady corpse, Ibbit.
This is the true story of how Nicolas Cage effed up a bridge and caused the people of two neighboring villages never to see each other again.
True story. Screw them. I've got a witch to deliver. God.
Oh, was there more?
Talk about delivering the tropes early.
Yeah. Just laying them out bare for everybody to behold very early on. So what are we talking about? We're talking about the most recent film we've ever sacked on the show up to this day, the most recent film, meaning, you know, released to when we sack it, right. Had been The Expendables. Mm. And before that, I think The Core.
And before Manticore.
That, and before that, I don't know. But this one came out last year, everybody, 2011. We had the incredible opportunity as viewing public to go to a film starring Nicolas Cage called Season of the Witch. And it is a big plate of steaming poo-poo.
Don't say that.
It's kind of terrible.
Don't say that.
It's funny. I would like to know the time between a film premiering in theaters and it becoming available on Netflix streaming. I think there'd be a really interesting measurement there. Like, there have been some good ones. I can't name any of them right now, but there have been. The Mark Wahlberg... Fighter movie.
The Fighter, which was an Academy Award nominated, you know, well respected thing. But the turnaround on that was real fast.
Yeah.
Showed up like T minus a couple of months or something. I don't know what those rates seem to be increasing though. They seem to be getting quicker. Like Drive seems like a weird thing that we already have on Netflix. That's out now.
But just as like random films, it's not like every movie is going to do that.
Well, right. Yeah, that's a good point. Now I hear tale. There's a rumor.
I heard a rumor
that Brian Ibbett might actually like this movie more than we think we
I think I like this movie more than the three of you.
No, I think it's going to be the Brian show.
All right.
It's nice. Team Ibbot, everybody. Well, let's run Fletcher's take and then we'll get to the nitty-gritty. So here it is. Yes. Scott Fletcher, tell us all about, what is it? Not Kingdom of the Witch.
Season of the Witch. In 14th century Europe, a courageous knight leads a group of weary warriors across impossibly treacherous terrain in order to transport a suspected witch believed to be responsible for spreading the devastating Black Plague.
Ew. A-knight? Why was it A-knight?
That was it.
I thought there was more. I was waiting for
It's funny because he gets those right off of Netflix, and that is as short as it is. And normally they have way more stuff like Nicolas Cage from stars in this action. You know, usually there's more, but that was weird and brief.
It really was.
Some brevity there. All right. Directed by Dominique Senna. I don't know which. Written by Braggy F. Shutt.
Braggy F. Shutt. Now, this actually won like a 2002 screenwriting award.
What?
Back in the day?
No.
Don't judge the final.
Back in the day.
Don't judge the final of what came to theaters compared to what was submitted. Well,
back in the day, what, 4 months ago or what? Oh, you mean like this is an old script that was bouncing around for a long time?
Yeah, it's been in Hollywood for a while. Not terribly long.
When a screenwriter... When it gets a screenwriting award, isn't that based on the final product, not on early drafts?
No. He won a contest.
Oh, okay, gotcha. For this.
So you're telling me this? Oh, okay. All right. But Braggy,
this was highly coveted before some actor got involved.
I'd blame it on the director. By the way, Dominique Senna, if you're not familiar, what's the movie where I can't think of her name all of a sudden.
Right.
It's got Travolta in it. She shows her boobies.
So shows her boobies, and you're referring to John Travolta? John Travolta? Shows his boobies?
Let me look it up. I forgot what this is.
Grease is out.
It's everyone will know the minute I say it. Swordfish. There it is. Swordfish.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Halle Berry shows her boobies.
Yeah, he directed Swordfish. He directed California with a K. You know the one. He also did Gone in 60 Seconds, where he clearly struck up an incredible relationship with one Nicolas Cage.
Right.
And then did this. And he's not really known for much else. There's other movies like Janet Jackson's Design of a Decade documentary video and The Best of Sting, Fields of Gold.
I would just like to, this is the point where I would like to say, if Gone in 60 Seconds or Con Air ever come on streaming, we will be sacking them instantly.
Yes.
If they don't, at some point, we have to sack them anyway.
I like Gone in 60 Seconds.
I think Con Air.
I
needs
like
to
Con
be
Air.
I love Con track. Air. Yeah. Con Air typifies that weird Bruckheimer-y action-y thing before he got into pirate movies.
Okay, then let's just say it right now. If we can get ourselves copies of Con Air, we're commentary sacking it.
Okay. Got
dude,
it.
Dude,
done.
Get a copy. I've had Con Air since it came on DVD way back in the early days.
You were going to say Dizay, weren't you? You were going to say Dizay is what you were going to say.
Back in the days. It's awesome.
Braggy F. Shutt, just to tell you about this guy. His face
got
is also...
forehead the size of Montana.
It's huge. He's done some things.
He's all right.
He's right in pre-production. There's a new film for 2013 called The Last Voyage of Demeter,
and that also has Nicolas Cage, doesn't it? Am I wrong?
Does it really?
I don't know if it does. Who the hell knows? But the rest of these you don't know.
No.
Like
it's all...
the rest of these... of the Witch I've never heard of.
Sorry. This is the one about the merchant ship which carries Dracula's coffin.
Oh,
which sounds like a fantastic movie until you go, and it stars Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
And you go,
now they're all buddies, whatever. They're all trying to help him pay off that weird debt he has, that strange, weird money debt.
You know what? I'm picking and joking all the same. You know, I really like Nicolas Cage. I know I give him a hard time. There's hardly a movie that I ever watched that I won't watch Nicolas Cage.
Well,
movie.
No, I wanted to bring this up. I'm glad you said this because he is either really great or kind of terrible.
He's horrible. He's so fun to watch.
Yeah.
But he's great in like Matchstick Men and
Raising Arizona
and some of the weirder stuff in the '80s. Moonlighting, he's great. He's great in lots and lots of movies. And he's got, I even see him in action. I think he's great in The Rock. He's fantastic in The Rock.
Right.
So
here's the thing, though. All right, I'm braggy F shit, and I'm talking to Nicolas Cage. All right, so, dude, quit staring at my forehead. Eyes down here, buddy.
Right, right. Hey, like you're one to talk. Look at your forehead.
I'm down here, okay?
I'm doing this new film. I'm writing a screenplay about the ship that carries Dracula's coffin from Transylvania, England. Really quick, show me your Transylvanian accent. Hi, I'm Nicolas Cage, and here's my Transylvanian accent. Perfect. Okay, yeah, this is a go.
It's true.
I don't understand how he gets into films like the National Treasure films or Ghost Rider. Like, do they not hold auditions?
I don't know.
Right. Now, Ghost Rider, I didn't understand, but I don't know. The other ones, like National Treasure, I can kind of see him in. He's kind of goofy, silly.
Yeah, he plays a good everyman when he's playing an everyman,
right.
I think.
Yeah. Right.
But there's so many better ones.
It's true, but yeah, then you see him in stuff like Lords of War, is it?
Lord of War. He was awesome in Lord of
so
War.
Good
although,
in that. Jeez
now
Louise.
That you've seen Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr. would have been better.
Yeah.
But look at his filmography coming up that Nicolas Cage has. I mean, we got movies. It's like Kick-Ass 2, National Treasure 3. They've got question marks to them. It's like we don't even know when this is coming out. We just know that Nicolas Cage has agreed to it.
Yeah. I thought he burned to death in Kick-Ass.
He supposedly
in
did.
The first one,
are they bringing
right?
him back? Or is it, maybe it's like flashback or something.
That was the best part of Kick-Ass was burning Nicolas Cage's character.
Anybody see the Ghost Rider sequel? Anyone see that?
No one in the world actually.
I
even
did.
The people who made it didn't see it.
Yeah. I saw it actually.
You did? How was it there, Brian?
Hey, did you see the first one?
No.
Yeah.
I avoided it.
The first one was bad. This one was worse.
I can't
worse.
Defend it. You know, it's like you can't defend it. But once again, it's a Nicolas Cage movie. I've yet to watch a Nicolas Cage movie that I wasn't at least entertained in some way. I mean, it's just ridiculous, but. I'm very rarely bored. I think 8mm was the one I came closest to being bored with, but it was actually a really good movie.
Well, I hear that Knowing is actually underrated and really good. It's Alex Proyas' film, which is weird that I haven't seen that because I usually see everything he does.
Right.
But then you got things right around that, like Bangkok Dangerous and
so bad.
National Treasure Book of Secrets. What else? It's something. Oh, remember Next? Next was poo.
Oh, you didn't like Next?
No.
It's horrible.
You know what, though? He's pretty good in World Trade Center. So that's what I'm saying.
I'm getting Knowing confused. Because Next and Knowing is like the same movie. It's like you know what's going to happen.
Yep.
But look at his, 1995 to 1997. So it's like Leaving Las Vegas, which was great. The Rock, Con Air, Face Off.
Yeah.
Like there was that 3-year period where he knew what he was doing. And then.
That was true.
And then City of Angels and Snake Eyes and 8mm and
what's the one where he's the is it City of Angels where he's a angel in L.A.
Yeah.
With Meg Ryan.
As a doctor.
I have a weird like for that movie.
That soundtrack was pretty good.
It was good. But that's when I was back in this. We talked about this on the show before. It was back when I was really into my duster phase. Like everybody could wear a trench coat and like sit on top of a building and look cool. I thought that was great back then.
Just that made the movie for you.
And, freaking Leaving Las Vegas, a lot of people think he was really great.
I think he was fantastic.
Didn't he win an Academy Award? Or was at least nominated?
Who knows?
He won. He won an Academy Award. He won every kind of award for Leaving Las Vegas. He then got nominated for every kind of award for adaptation, but he didn't win any of them.
Mm. Oh, that's true. Mm-hmm. Raising Arizona, we got Peggy Sue Got Married.
Yes. Oh, which that was funny because that was one of those things where everyone was raving about him and Peggy Sue Got Married, and I found his delivery to be the most irritating. He's trying to do this accent of this nerdy guy.
It's bad.
And it's so horrible. But then you go to Valley Girl and it's dead on nerdy guy.
Yep. Him and Keanu Reeves are the same people to me. They got this really, they can't avoid it. It's who they are. And when you put them in a period piece, it gets weird.
Yeah. They have a narrow stripe that they can work in. And if you try and take them out of that, they're flailing. And that's one of the things that I think would have made, okay, take Nicolas Cage out of this film, right? Out of Season of the Witch.
No problem. A problem. As far as I can tell, he wasn't in it anyway, but go ahead.
Put in somebody like Clive Owen.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh,
and doesn't that raise the movie maybe one letter grade up?
Yeah,
from
and
a
have
D
him have him rolling around as much as
you
I
could
love,
even you much, could even do some crazy stunt casting, like put in Hugh Grant and it's better.
Well, yeah, anybody British actually would help, but I would actually say swap out Fassbender, put Fassbender in there for Ron Perlman, and don't get me wrong, I'll put Ron Perlman in this movie.
He didn't fit in this movie.
He didn't at all, but I still like watching him do whatever. I don't care. It's like let him do it.
That's right. It's like two guys you shouldn't be in this movie, but it's like it's them two. You know, it's Ron Perlman and Nicolas Cage.
It stops with Ron Perlman for me.
Exactly.
I love Ron Perlman, but he didn't fit. His voice was stupid. Neither of them even tried to. I kind of got a little bit of affectation from Nicolas Cage. You'd hear him occasionally go, "Stand fast and fly."
When he had a little short line to deliver, he could remember that he was supposed to do it in a British accent. But then when he started talking for long periods of time, it was gone.
Let's see. Okay, so speaking of these two guys,
yeah.
Have you ever seen a movie that opens with a montage?
Yes,
that's a great one.
And this one reminded me of it. The Wolverine, the X-Men,
different wars and stuff.
Right. Yeah. This one totally reminded me of that, with the two of them fighting side by side. Oh, look, they're in the American Revolution. Oh, look, they're in
it opened with
Korea.
It.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Very early on. Yeah, and what's funny about that is I think the Wolverine movie had a better handle on actual time period accuracy than this film did.
Are you kidding me?
They jacked stuff up in this. Like, those dates were wrong. The place was like the Gulf of something. I'm like, no, dude, you're in the middle of the damn desert. And we're not all stupid enough out here to go, oh, I guess they just called it the Gulf because it's a Gulf of sand.
You just nailed it, by the way. Liev Schreiber would have been awesome in this movie.
Oh, he would have been great. And Hugh Jackman, for that matter.
We'll take anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Jonathan Lipnicki from... and Lucas Haas.
Danny
Put
Galecki.
Him in here.
It seems like bad casting is what we're getting at, folks.
Exactly. But seriously, I mean, just taking that, the story, I think, is actually really cool. And the twist, I think, is cool.
Yeah, the twist is all right. I think the other actors are okay. Some of them, one guy mumbled a lot and you could never hear him.
Yeah.
That was me.
Was that you mumbling the whole time?
during the movie, I was just mumbling.
Claire Foy, who played the quote unquote witch, was good.
So many nice looking women in this movie.
Yes.
Some of them walking dangerously close to swords, but we'll get to that in a minute. That was so stupid. Your email made my day, by the way.
That was pretty funny.
Before we go any further, can we talk a little bit about Rogue?
As in the class?
Right, no, Rogue Pictures.
Oh,
Rogue
got it. Go ahead.
Made this film. And,
legendary weapons? What?
There was a time when Rogue was a part of Universal Studios.
Yeah.
So there was a time before Rogue existed, really, and when they made the movie Orgasmo, which I know Scott's seen.
I have,
right.
And then
it's horrible. I have. It's terrible.
It's a Parker Stone film.
It's a horrible film. It's obviously very clear in there. I don't. It's not funny. But anyway, keep going.
Okay, so then they became a part of Universal Studios, and Rogue made a bunch of really good films: Shaun of the Dead, Mallrats. A movie called Unleashed starring Jet Li that I think everybody needs to see, Hot Fuzz, Balls of Fury. And then Rogue made some really crappy films and went to becoming a subsidiary of Relativity Media.
Yeah.
And now they're making movies like this. They're making The Warrior's Way and Take Me Home Tonight. Mm. And I just think that it's really interesting when a studio does so well that they get ruined. Like, and I'm not saying they were making, you know, Oscar-winning films. They were making American Pie sequels. But when they became a subsidiary of Relativity Media, they made another dozen movies. Not a single one of them any good. This is one of those.
Yeah. People get bought up. They get lame. What was that? The sound of getting bought up?
That's right. That's what that sounds like.
Okay. I like that.
What was that?
Well, here's a little trivia for you. Wormwood, the name of the forest in which Hagamar dies, you know, Hagamar.
Right.
That dude's in Boardwalk Empire and some other stuff. Anyway, he died in there. Remember when he got eaten by the wolves? That whole bit.
Right. That was awesome.
Says it's also the name of the destructive entity found in the Bible. This entity, described as a star, is called Wormwood. although right. the name can be also interpreted as bitterness, and right. appears to cause a plague-like or poisoning effect. Like a video game here. From the book of Revelation 8, chapter 8, 10 through 11, we read. This is seriously in IMDb, yeah. by the way.
Yeah.
And, quote, the third eagle sent. Now, I'm reading this, Brian. I want Brian Hibbett to listen. The okay, third listen. Eagle, or the third angel, sorry, not eagle, sounded his trumpet with a star.
I like the third eagle better.
There's a lot of reasons why it should be eagle. Blazing like a torch, fell from the sky, and the third of the rivers on the springs of the water. The name of the star was Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. All right. Now, the reason I read this is I do not believe I think this trivia is somebody at home with their fat Bible getting all hopeful that it was yeah. a reference. And I think they didn't know shit bag two poops that it had anything to do with anything. There's no actual connection to that reference. I just right. want to call IMDb out. And I also want to call them out for this thing here they say. Here, under the goofs section. They have one goof. They have one goof in there.
This movie.
right. That's what I thought it would be. But instead it's this, quote, these 14th century crusaders from Europe speak with American accents, unquote.
No.
That's their goof.
They do?
You know, they speak with American accents, but all of them pronounce their name in the proper time period.
Yeah.
Have you noticed this? When you're in the it's like, okay, I'm going to pronounce this. Okay, right, whatever.
Right.
There are other goofs in
I agree.
In IMDb. Yeah.
Oh, there are? I thought I only saw the one.
Oh, yeah, there are
several, but
you got to click.
Geographical areas and continuity errors and...
Mm. Oh, yeah, you're right. No, you're right.
They didn't necessarily get
the trivia, I think.
They didn't necessarily get it right when the Crusades were. No big deal.
Right.
Yeah. Who cares about that?
The one thing, you know, usually, and I don't catch these continuity things like I did in this one, but at one point near the end, what's his face says, we're going to need more holy water. And it's, you know, it's meant as a one-liner kind of thing, but gonna? Were they saying right. gonna in the 14th century?
You're not even close. He dropped out. He dropped out the big S bombs. She says shit right in the middle right in the middle of a church, and I'm like,
yeah.
What? I get the feeling that especially Nick Cage reinterpreted a lot of the lines from the script.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah. Not in a good way. Not in a good improv way. Like in a, I'm not reading this. I'm reading what I want to read. You know, I bet he's a pain on set. That's just a guess.
All right, hold it. I feel like we're going too mean on Nick Cage.
No,
I'm showing all kind of love for the man.
He deserves some credit. He was born into a storied Hollywood family.
Hmm. He was born into money.
Almost no one who's ever experienced that came through it. Hmm. Like. Carrie Fisher is a great example of someone who just barely survived being born into the kind of pedigree that he was.
He's the whole Coppola connection, right? All the Coppolas.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
Right. And he has done some really good stuff. I just feel like he's been luckier to be in great films than his talent. You know, like his talent doesn't seem to shine through if he's got it.
Well, he's iconic as all get out. Like he is the guy.
He's a draw. He's a box office draw.
See his face and you go, it's Nicolas Cage. For good or for bad, whether you like him or you don't, he is a dude who you recognize. No one else looks like him except that weird Civil War photograph they found. Do you remember that? That was so weird.
Right.
You're saying it's kind of like the Stephen Baldwin effect where, wow, Stephen Baldwin, awesome, and The Usual Suspects.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was, I guess that was kind of accidental.
Yeah, kind of.
Right.
Here's the weird thing about Nick Cage. Yeah. The thing that blows my mind about Nick Cage is he's only 48 years old.
Yeah, he's youngish.
Okay. I really would have guessed older.
Younger than Johnny Depp, everybody.
Yeah.
Younger. Yeah, wow. And Brad Pitt, for that matter. He is younger than those guys, but do's not look it. I'm going to get a t-shirt that says Hello Biodome, by the way. That's a great idea. Yeah. Brilliant idea.
I think Nick Cage looks older because of the receding hairline and the bad plugs.
Yeah. Oh, he's got plugs.
I think he embraces it.
You think so? I don't know.
I don't think he's got the plugs. Has he plugs? I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I'm going to send you a picture. Tell me whether you think he's got bad plugs.
Those look like plugs. But he's go back to Face Off or somewhere around that range or Con Air or something. There's a handsome guy under all that.
Sure.
In his 20s, 30s. Like he doesn't look bad. He's in shape. You know, and he's running around as Dr. whatever Goodspeed. What was his name in that? Anyway, whatever it was in The Rock.
Dr. Goodspeed.
He totally bottom is strong and fast and agile and tall and, you know, capable of having that hot girlfriend. Feats. All those things. So good. So he's getting right. old.
I feel better now. Yeah. We got the both sides of the Nick Cage.
Eventually, Brad Pitt's going to look like butt. You know, it's going to happen. One day it will.
One day Brad Pitt will look like butt.
That's right.
That guy may actually hold on. Like, you know, like how Robert Redford may die young.
Yeah, you're right. Robert Redford is a freak of nature. Maybe Brad Pitt's going down that path. Ironically, they were in a terrible movie together.
It took Harrison Ford forever to look old. I mean.
Yeah, but now he looked
rugged forever.
He looks real old now, though.
It's like, I forget it.
I don't know. Age is a weird thing, and sometimes it treats different people differently. What I don't want to have happen, like Nicolas Cage is doing the plugs, is doing some weird face stuff. You can see it.
Right. Yeah. Do you remember there was a point about 5 years ago mm-hmm. when he clearly had some major facial uplifting and stretching and so forth?
Yep. You could see it. And that's where I start to fall off some, because I like a dude who can just go, I'm just taking this. You know, Andy Griffith. Here's an example.
I'm taking it right to the face.
Andy Griffith is not afraid to look like a washed up, dried up old bean, you know, like he is ready for it. Shatner.
I'm Matlock.
Shatner's another one.
What a choice. I mean, why not bring up, like, you know, Anthony Hopkins or,
right.
you know.
But you know what? Well, okay, Hopkins, great example. That guy still looks cool. Christopher Lee looks great until he has a giant boil on his face and he's in this movie. Speaking of which. Oh, yeah, this movie. We're doing a movie here. I forgot about this. Yeah. Christopher Lee stars as the cardinal with the growth on his head. Right. What a wasted part that was.
Pop.
I never noticed.
Yeah,
I didn't notice it was Christopher Lee.
The voice. Really? I hear the voice, and I went, "Oh, that's got to be Christopher Lee."
It was. Yeah, the
voice. And then I looked it up. I looked it up and went, "Oh my gosh, why is he in this? What is he doing?"
I couldn't hear him. I couldn't process what I was being told.
That's because he had his teeth were stuck to the top of his lip, and he was talking like
that. But that was pretty good practical effects. So, I mean, this is storied ancient actor Christopher Lee, with everyone respects and loves and whatever. Why'd you rope him into this? Like, how much you had to pay the poor old guy?
I'm telling you right now, this is what happened. Nicolas Cage goes around and he finds all the cool scripts and he sucks them up. That's exactly what he's doing. And then, you know, Christopher Lee didn't know. He's like, yeah, I'll do it. And then he's like, Nicolas Cage signed on? Shit.
Well, there's a couple of other things. Like, Christopher Lee he's so old now, he only does parts where he can pretty much stay still.
His face.
Yeah, so, you know, like, he did a voice in Frankenweenie, you know what I mean? Like,
That's true.
Christopher Lee, this is the perfect role for Christopher Lee. I would think he would jump at it.
He was pretty tough in Star Wars.
Yeah, but Star Wars was the last time we saw him, and he didn't do much.
7 years ago, what are you talking about? Yeah. He was all jumping around.
The CGI jumping around, that wasn't him.
He's now 90.
Yeah.
He's
90, which means he was 89 or 90 last year when he made this piece of garbage.
He does not look 90.
Well, dude, you just saw him with a giant growth on his face. He looked 100. He looked terrible.
I read that. What's her name's? The studios just Wingnut. Wingnut had to go through a ton to get him into the Hobbit movies. They had to pay extra. They had to offer all sorts of.
Better bring him back to life.
I didn't know he was. I figured he would be out. Mm. You know, I thought it was already a stretch. You were going to get Ian Holm in there and a couple others.
He's in both of the Hobbit movies.
You know what you need to do? Go watch Alien 1, and watch Ian Holm as the synthetic dude, headless guy, talking to you. And then watch freaking John Hurt, who's now 1,000 years old. Watch him have the chest burster pop out of his guts. Like watching these two incredibly seasoned British, you know, auteurs of acting do something as cool as Alien. It's so badass.
Yeah.
I love those guys in that. Anyway, where were we? Oh, yeah. Did you guys see the Hound? So any Game of Thrones fans out there notice the Hound was in it? The very early goings on. Did you notice that there, Brian Ibbett?
No, I didn't catch that at all.
So while the guy was hanging witches.
Yeah. The guy who leaves, the guy who says, you know, they're dead. I've killed enough or whatever.
He just didn't look like the Hound.
Dead enough for me.
Because Saruman was borrowing his face mash.
Yeah.
Right. He walked away. But he was in that. I knew it right away. I said, oh my gosh. Because I, you know, I had just seen the finale.
Now that you say it. Yeah. And Robert Sheehan, who I don't know if any of you guys have seen the show The Misfits or just playing Misfits from the BBC, but great actor. Again, why they made him give up his really cool Irish accent and go with an American accent for this?
I guess I want to believe that it comes to your two principals can't do a reasonable other accent, so you just make everybody try to sound as much like them as possible.
Yeah, that's.
But you know what? He was great. That kid was cool. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any problem with him. I thought Hagermar, whatever his name was cool.
Nonetheless, as much as I like those guys, like everyone else in this film, I just spent the entire movie waiting to see them get squished. Yeah. Like, I just, it made me happy when they started dying off, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. I put a note in here that I love period piece movies where I get to see people's dental work by accident. Right. So the guy's going, "The Lord compels you to destroy the usurper." And
he's got these huge silver bridges.
Yeah, you got like two silver bridges, a gold crown, and some kind of weird ass, I don't know what filling going on there. It's like some British actor who's got terrible teeth, and we get to see it all.
I was ready to jump up and go kill some and whatever people. Yeah. They went out of their way to not show you who they were killing. Yeah. I thought that was very impressive how all of the shots showed Ron Perlman and Nick Cage swinging swords and shields, and clearly they were going to town on something, but we didn't get to see exactly
just the
what.
Back of them.
They had me there. I was fine with that movie until someone started saying stuff. It was all right until then.
Because the action was cool. Way, and, you know. I figured that whole thing at the beginning where they didn't show you who they were killing was to prevent them from basically being a film that would get reused for racist purposes.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That's a good point. I got a trope for you. Suddenly he kills, so this leads right into it. Suddenly he kills a lady, somehow just walking around with a sword out.
And everything stops with a sword out.
And now suddenly he's got second thoughts about everything. Suddenly it changes everything. Oh, I've been through 50 of these. I don't know how many years were represented.
12 years according to
their timeline.
Okay.
Timeline.
So 12 years straight, him and Perlman stabbing dudes. And not once did any of that warfare ever once have him go, maybe these Crusades are kind of bullcrap. Maybe I need to pull out of here. No, it was the time where he was nonchalantly holding a sword like a wiener and accidentally dumped it into somebody.
Nor were they that tired. They charged right in there at first. Like, I thought it was going to be, I'm tired of this shit. I was expecting every movie cliche line ever for some reason. Right. I'm too old for this.
I'm too old for this stuff.
But no, they were still doing great. They just had enough of being told to kill women and children, I guess.
Yeah, but how dumb was her death? Come on. And her, she's got this like wax museum face on after it happens. permanent scream. That was great. he's just such a contradiction. He was so bad in this, and he looked kind of out of shape. And Ron Perlman,
She was kin to Eckhart. He was running around getting himself stabbed.
Oh.
By swords later on.
Oh yeah, sure he was. Who? Aaron Eckhart?
No, Eckhart in the movie.
Oh, the character.
Oh, next like, Thomas.
Wait, you're telling me where's Harvey Dent? He's in this movie?
No.
Look harder.
I got a trope.
Oh, wait.
Right there early on in the film. The old retiree. They're done. They're off. They're going off into the sunset only to immediately find an adventure. Like, they couldn't even go. They couldn't go spend a weekend fishing before they fell into an adventure.
Yeah, it's like a James Bond movie or where he's no longer. I'm not doing this anymore. Mm-hmm. I've given this up. We're gonna go. You know, he retires from
a hotel room in Panama and finds that he's right next to somebody who's committing a major international crime.
Yeah,
in the next room.
Yep. I'm trying to think of some other examples. There's better ones than the one I gave. Like. I don't know, anything Van Damme's in. Like, isn't he always coming out of retirement to help somebody? Or maybe that was just Hard Target.
Sin City.
Sin City, yep.
It's
thick with tropes.
Oh, how about the second Alien film, Aliens?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
right. Yeah, Ripley coming back.
That's a perfect one. By the way, trivia. Who is the only character that was introduced in the first Alien movie that made it all the way until the end of 3?
Introduced in the first movie?
The first movie that made it all the way to 3. So it made it through Alien,
character.
Alien 2, or Aliens, Alien 3, and at the end of Alien 3, it's the last time we saw this character.
About to say,
I've got the best example ever, and it's a film sack film.
What? Oh, of the thing?
I'll give you time to think about
it. Yeah, let's give everyone time to search for an answer.
We watched Star Trek VI, where the entire crew's on their last mission.
I know.
They're just about to retire.
Yeah, and then everybody's sucked back into it.
That's a good one.
Whole ship.
That's a good
one. All right, so the cat comes in the first movie, and Ripley tells the cat that you're not going back. Cat says, okay, and that's the last we see the cat. Bishop comes in the second movie, and we see him in 2, 3. Do we see him in 4?
No, there's no Bishop. We might see Lance Henriksen in 4.
Yeah, for some reason I'm thinking we see Lance Henriksen in 4.
I know Wormtongue's in 4. But
man, okay.
It's you were right the first time. It's the cat.
Oh, do we see the cat in the third movie?
Cat makes it through the entire freaking thing.
Really?
No, the cat doesn't. The cat's not even in the third movie at all.
He's in that third movie. You got to go back and watch third prison alien movie. He's right there.
Right.
The one written by, 4 is written by Joss Whedon. Who's
the third one's written by Fight Club guy.
Fincher. David Fincher.
David Fincher. Yeah. No. The cat doesn't go back with Ripley.
I would remember a cat.
She says, you're not going back, and the cat kind of looks at her and purrs or something.
But he shows up again in 3, and they're in the ship with him or something.
There's a cat. There is another cat on that prison planet, I think, that one of the inmates has.
Let's see.
But it ain't Jonesy.
I swear Jonesy the cat makes it all. This is what I don't even remember where I read this. I'm going to have to find it now. Damn it. Hey guys, might I take a moment and talk to you about audible.com? They're awesome. Audiobooks are the way to go. I mean, when you got access to hundreds of thousands of possible options, where else would you want to go than audible.com? It's amazing. They have all sorts of stuff, all kinds of literature, audio versions of many of New York Times bestseller books, for example. And check this out. For listeners of this podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook to you only using this link. Give you a chance to try out their service. Just give it a try. One audiobook to consider, for example, would be this one I found on Audible today. I was hunting around for some Clive Barker stuff, and it turns out he contributed to a unabridged compilation of various vampire stories called The Vampire Archives, the most complete volume of vampire tales ever published. Here's just a taste.
Is a typical gothic villain, but deserves to be remembered as the first vampire. I'll repeat that with emphasis. Lord Ruthven is the first vampire.
Wow, look at that. That's quite the claim there, Jimmy boy. So you can get that and any other book you want absolutely free. Simply go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. That's audiblepodcast.com/filmsack and get a free audiobook download today. All right. Well,
I've got a really funny example of retiree that just occurred to me.
All right. What do you got?
The Sam Rockwell character in Moon.
I don't remember Moon.
I know you watched it. I remember talking to you about it.
No, is that somebody with their pants down for 2 hours? Or what?
Oh, Sam Rockwell.
Moon? What is Moon?
Yes. Really? Sam Rockwell
is a space miner on the moon.
Oh, right? Moon. I've seen Moon. With verbal Kent as the robot. Got it.
And he's really close to retirement when he gets in an accident and finds out everything's all different than he expected. Yeah. It's a really funny way of this trope working out.
I know why I always get these. Whenever someone says Sam Rockwell, guess who I think of? I think of the dude from Quantum Leap. Dean Stockwell. Every time somebody says Sam Rockwell, I go, Dean Stockwell in a movie called Moon? That's why it's not ringing a bell. I'm like, that sounds like some weird romantic
Sam Rockwell would have been awesome in Season of the Witch.
Totally. As the witch.
You know what? It would have fixed it because if you're going to have your stupid American, have him and bring some humor into it. Right. That's the other thing. This thing is so self-serious. If those guys would have goofed off a little more, Perlman had the occasional, I could sure use a bird right now, or whatever he said.
That's not what he said.
I would say
all of your souls for some chicken.
That was what it was. So if he would have done, so that was a little bit of that. But you bring Rockwell in, not Dean Stockwell, but Sam Rockwell in, and let him have some fun and ham it up and actually be a little less self-serious, it could have been much better. Because Brian Ibbett's right. And in the body of this thing, there is a spine that wants to be good, but all the flesh and organs just suck.
Yeah, the acting and I think I hate to say it, but some of the screenwriting is.
And if you go back and read the original screenplay, there's a lot of things like the whole opening scene that doesn't happen at all. It starts with them returning. I've actually read some of this. It starts with them returning, and it's a totally different tone.
You mean the dangling witches off the bridge thing?
Yeah, they don't do none of that. They don't do none of the open fight scenes or none of that stuff where they're going to on the crusades. They don't do none of that crap.
All right.
And so they skip straight to them returning back home. And so
well, way to go, Braggy F. Shoot or Shut.
Shut.
Shite.
Shite. For Shite. Your treatment of that fine film.
Actually, Nicolas Cage was nominated for two awards for this.
Stop.
They were the Razzies.
Ah.
Oh, nice.
Did he win?
One of them for Worst Actor for this and Drive Angry and Trespass. And also, he was nominated for Worst Screen Couple. Nominated Nicolas Cage and anyone sharing the screen with him during Season of the Witch, Drive Angry, and Trespass.
Drive Angry, I forgot that was another movie last year, wasn't it?
It was. Right.
I don't remember that at all. I don't remember what
Isn't
it was
that the
about.
One where he's escaped from hell, and as long as he
exactly, he's looking for his daughter. And...
That, right. that wait, what you've just said interests me. Is it just bad execution?
It does. I'm telling you, he always picks these really interesting sounding scripts, and then he just cages them up.
Well, this could be a really good film. How can I screw this one up?
Oh, I could eat a peach for hours. Oh. All right. I always refer to that one. I don't know why.
I got a trope.
Oh, well, wait. Brian's got a trope.
I got it. All right. Well, yeah, if I saw it from like 6 miles away when they went into the, when they first arrived back home in France and they go in and they see the guy made out of cow patties and he's laying in the bed and the lady jumps at him.
Oh, yeah.
The lady jumping. I mean, she should have been, the soup was dead. And there's no way anybody who was even close to living would ever have laid down next to cow patty, man.
Yeah, it was a misdirect. It was a misdirect. It was a MacGuffin because what they were trying to say was, oh, are they really dead? Or is that some kind of zombie or something? But no, the plague was the problem, not that people were still alive during this late stage, whatever. And it's one thing to have a bloated body go, or something like that, but to have it go with a face and make eyeballs at you and stuff, like, come on.
Right.
I was overdoing it. The good makeup, like, though, like, grossed me out.
Gross, man. I feel like I need some hand sanitizer after I got through it. Like, ooh.
Yeah, all that stuff was handled pretty well.
Pizza the Hut.
Yeah, it was pretty gross.
All right, I'll throw the trope out. It's, you know, I brought it up in the opening, but
what do you got?
It's the crappy bridge, you know.
Oh,
the fact that no one in any movie ever looks at a bridge like that and says, you know what, it's going to add another day to our trip, but let's go ahead and just go around.
Here's the thing about the rope bridge, and it's a staple in Indiana Jones, Romancing the Stone, Pirates of the Caribbean type films.
Sure,
right.
King Kong.
That rope bridge has been standing for 500 years.
Yeah.
Someone has been maintaining it up until about 50 years ago. They stopped.
Right.
Actually, 10 years ago.
Randy, right before whoever the last, clearly just before Indiana Jones needed to use it.
Right.
But
that's the thing.
It's sense,
the
though.
Bridge is going to fail.
Yeah.
All bridges do eventually fail.
Right.
Why is it that bridges only ever fail the day you come along?
But it's because they were trying to. They had the worst plan ever. I understand. I kind of actually have to defend this in a little bit because this is France and this is supposed to be during the plague. And two, was it 3 out of 4 people had died from the plague? So there was nobody to maintain the bridge. And he said the last time he'd been there was like 9 years ago. So I guess.
Wait, you're saying this is France. What does France have to do with it? Like, what is it about France that would make it?
Well, that was when the plague was. That's where it was.
Oh, you're okay. You're saying like the center of the plague, they're in France. Okay. I thought you meant no one takes care of their bridges
in
France.
France. No, they don't mess with, they don't have any bridge makers.
Lazy jackasses. Yeah.
But it was still, to me, the worst part about that whole scene was the plan. The plan was so horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the worst plan ever. It's like, okay, we're gonna get a running start. Yeah. It's like, okay, first of all, you need to get on the bridge sags in the middle, so you need to get a start. You need to run. You need to come back up on this other side with the carriage. And so what they do is they slowly let it down for the first part of the bridge, and then it like gets away from them, and then it's like, you dummies, you gotta get back up on the other side.
Yeah.
And it was
and what's funny is they obviously only had enough rope to get it halfway.
Yeah. Right.
You know, because the thing, once the thing runs out of rope, it's only halfway across the bridge. So what were they expecting was going to happen?
Yeah. And spoiler, sorry, but Demon Lady didn't seem the least bit concerned about the bridge.
No, of course not.
Oh, the kid fell off? Let me reach out and grab him with my index finger or my thumb and hold him up as if he weighs nothing. Everything's great. I can do whatever I want. She seemed to be able to have powers that she could have gotten out of there anytime she wanted to.
Well, that was Did you watch all the movies?
No, I watched the whole thing. I get it. Spoilers. Yeah.
That's a trope, by the way. That's a trope.
It's a fat trope.
The whole jailed by my own design thing.
And we just saw that real recent in the Avengers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, yeah. Sort of, right?
Yeah, well, that's exactly what Loki went to do. He's like, okay, I want to be captured. Yeah. Take me back.
Oh, yeah, right, that is a trope. Well, that's a big trope.
But what's the point? I mean, why couldn't this possessed demon have gotten to the...
Because she didn't know Rosette.
Oh, okay. You're a demon and you don't know where it's at? Are you
not watching the movie?
You're a demon that can fly, by the way. You got wings. You could go get a bird's eye. You could go as the crow flies and get straight there, man. That's bullcrap.
This is so revealing because I read a good bit of the script, and so I know things that make sense to me.
Great.
But,
you and Braggy F. Shutt know everything there is to know about this festering turd.
If you just watch the movie, you probably wouldn't catch most of this stuff.
All right. What else? I like fantasy kind of pure. Fantasy, and I like my historical drama, straight historical. Mixing them always has bugged me. The only example I can think of where I don't mind it is 300, where you really truly mix. You get a little supernatural in a historical tale. I don't like movies, and it's not just this movie's fault. I don't like any of them where it's like, it's actual dates and locations and it's referencing real things that happen. But in the middle of it all, there's some kind of crazy supernatural action going on. And I don't like that, but I love pure fantasy where that's the business right off the bat. Right. And you're giving me fake places and fake times and then saying, no, here's some magic thrown in. I don't know why it bugs me. Even like that Camelot show that you and I tried to watch last year. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. And then Game of Thrones came out. I was like Camelot what?
Camelot was like such a second freaking tier piece of poo compared to that. But
even though Ava Green took her top off in every single episode.
She liked doing that.
Speaking of nudity, this film has a funny trope.
Boobies.
Mm. Yeah, it's the trope where when you're brought back to life or you're brought to life, you're naked.
Yeah.
Right out of an exorcism. I exercised the clothes right off of her.
That's right.
Right.
Well,
and sometimes it's weird things like the Fifth Element, you know, you're reconstructed naked or what's her name in Cowboys and Aliens.
Arnold can't go through time unless he's buck naked.
Right. But his, he can go, but his clothes can't.
Right. That makes no sense. It seems like if only your flesh and blood could get through, then all your hair would be gone. Your head would be shaved. You'd have no eyebrows. There's so many problems with that. But why do you think that is? Is it kind of what is that tickling in the human brain when you see that and you kind of go, oh, it's like, is it like birth? Is that why?
Right, it's rebirth.
It's like rebirth, right? Isn't that
that's the idea.
Thing they're trying to tap into.
Right.
We're just too smart to...
Because if you teleport from one side of the room to the other side, you're going to be fused with your clothes.
Right.
Does Chris Rock from Dogma fit this trope?
I can't remember enough about Dogma. What happened?
I remember him being naked. I just don't remember if it's like when he literally appears from heaven.
I just remember really liking Dogma, but I don't remember much about it. I remember really liking
Dogma. All you remember is the glasses that Selma Hayek was wearing.
Well, I remember in the end... So the main chick was like Jesus, basically. But then you had... I know what it was that I always remember. What's her name? Bitterest Pill Lady. Isn't it ironic?
Oh, Alanis Morissette.
Yeah, she shows up as God later or something.
She's clothed.
Yeah, she is. But she's clothed, right.
Bitterest Pill is the Jam. Jagged Little Pill is Alanis Morissette.
Oh, sorry.
I'm only doing that because if I don't, someone's going to email and say, wow, Music Guy Ibbett didn't correct you on your Bitterest Pill.
Listen, I like to imagine there's a guy listening to the show in real time and just was about to hit send when you corrected me and now he's pissed.
No, he's going to send it anyway. And then he's going to go, oh, I just unpaused it.
I love Sorry that.
I'm going to stretch this trope all the way to just anyone appearing for the first time.
All right, stretch trope.
Ken Jeong in the Hangover movies.
Here's your stretch trope right here.
What the hell is Jackson?
That's probably not.
You know what I'm talking about? Like Ken Jeong is like birthed from a trunk in both of the Hangover movies, buck naked.
Yeah. I still haven't seen those. I don't know what you're referring to. I need to see the first one at least.
Yeah, you need to see the first one. You don't need to see the second one. Yeah. Trust me on this.
Is it just a rehash or just...
It is. Yeah, it's like they remade the first one.
Why would you do that?
Different location. Just money.
Just for fun.
Is this why, what's her name? says no bridesmaids too, because she's like, you know what? I don't want to do that. We've told the story. Well, I don't want to retell it.
If she is, then she's smart. If that's the reason, I think it's a great reason.
That's what she said. She claims
the Hangover 2 was shite.
She said, I've done the story I wanted to tell, and I don't want to. I basically implied that she just didn't want to do that again, because that's what these shows are. It's like Home Alone. What are we going to do? We're going to have the kid home alone again. Oh, but this time it's in a hotel.
Right. New York.
Yeah. And I don't like sequels like that. Like, what? Okay, this is fun. We've been doing this all episode. What's another example of an egregious example of sequels trying to do that? Is it Ghostbusters 2?
They tried to do a whole new thing with Ghostbusters 2, and that failed terribly. But they should have actually stuck with the first formula.
We got the giant marshmallow man, but this time, giant walking freaking Statue of Liberty.
You've just ventured into my wheelhouse. I know so many movies that are exactly what you just described. Uh-oh.
Back up slowly.
Go for it. I want to hear it. What do you got?
Ace Ventura 2. It's the same movie in Africa. The Karate Kid, all of them.
Yeah, great example.
You know, Pirates of the Caribbean is so the same movie over and over that it's
not as good a movie over and over. You wish at least Pirates would get like the at least make it as good as the first one. They suck. They suck.
Ocean's 12 and Ocean's 13. Speed 2 Cruise Control. Really, there's just so many of them.
Except this time on a boat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, Speed 2 is a great one. That's a great one. I see. That's what I like is when they literally do the gimmick again.
Hmm.
So if the gimmick is like, we can't stop this bus or we're all going to die. Oh,
like
we can't
Dirty
stop
Dancing
this boat.
Too?
Yeah.
Dirty Dancing, just same exact thing. We're just in Cuba.
Yeah. Well, with different actors, right? Really different
Deuce
people.
Bigelow, European Gigolo, the Harold and Kumar movies.
That's true. All the. But I mean, sometimes you want that. Like you want that in your Cheech and Chong, right? You want it to be just the same stupid stoner movie every time, because that's what you're going to see.
Sometimes it's really good. Like National Lampoon's European Vacation is a really good movie. Yeah. Like if you like the first one.
Well, I guess horror movies is this very thing. Like if you want to look at Friday the 13th as a body of work, that's what this is.
Yeah, the same movie over and over with slightly different knobs tweaked.
Until they get weird and go, we're doing it in space, and now we're rebooting it. You know, I mean, they come around, but still, yeah, it's like this. What was that one we saw? Oh, it was so freaking bad.
It was
you
Jason
guys liked
X.
It.
It was Jason X.
No, we
was,
saw both. We saw X, and then we saw the one where.
Oh, it was, yeah, with. Oh,
it was so bad.
Was that 7? It's Jason one, Goes to Hell, but which one was it?
It was the one me and Ibbett really hated.
It was Jason Goes to Hell, but I can't remember which number that is.
You guys tried to convince us it was good.
I liked it. I still think it's good.
I still
think
do.
It's fun.
It's but so stupid.
I enjoyed Jason in Space. Jason X, I guess?
The one I'm thinking of that I didn't like is the one where Jason wasn't freaking in it. His body just kept jumping from...
Jason Goes to Hell. That's the one.
Yeah, that's a stupid freaking movie, yeah. You guys. Yeah.
We need to do an episode where all we do is review our memories of every film sack.
Well, that's what happens when the movie we saw sucks. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah.
What were you saying?
Saying the clip show. That's like, you know, the sitcom
that'd be
trope.
Perfect. Yeah. Right? We should do that.
That one where Riker season. Kept having flashbacks. Let's do that.
Exactly.
Remember time we sacked the season of the witch?
speaking of the clip show, named an actual famous podcast. I wish Jim Kirks would do one episode of the clip show. Years after he stopped doing that show, man, that would make
me
happy.
I've never heard of that show. Is that
really,
thing?
Jim? Jim, if you're listening, call me. Let's do a final episode.
You have got Jim. You have got a fan here in Randy Jordan, and you guys need to get it going. All right, where are we here? Oh, let's move on to. Oh, one last thing I want to say about the movie. I did like that the movie did this thing that I like movies that do. Where they have they reference
I like it.
Somebody
I like
diagram that sentence.
They have all of the standard fantasy classes. So there are tanks, two of them.
Right.
There's one's probably a warrior, another one's I don't know what, some kind of specialized tank. Then you got rogues. Guy got eaten by wolves, but still he's like a rogue a ranger type. You got a magic thing, which is the chick, and you got the priest, and he ain't healing nobody, but you know what I mean? Like they've got I love that they break it down by class.
Yeah,
you know what's
right.
funny is that in my notes here, I actually said the ending actually plays much like a video game boss battle. So the boss comes in, talks for a second, then fire blocks all the exits.
Yep.
He raises the dead, and you have to beat you have to kill the dead things before you can attack the main boss.
I would call that it was a kind of a quick time eventy sort of God of War style. fight.
It totally was, yeah.
Block off the doors, jump on his back, stab him a bunch of times. A couple of phases, right? It was great.
Let's not go over all of the boss fight tropes in the fight itself, like the fighting maneuvers.
The mechanics, right?
There's a ton of them.
Like when he cooks Ron Perlman in the wing cooker.
That was my favorite scene in the movie.
Right. I kept cringing every time it stabbed Nicolas Cage with this little wing spear thing. I was like,
Stop it. Well, you had to just keep holding it off while that guy read the longest freaking book passage of all time.
Mm-hmm. from the Book of Necromancy.
It even was like,
it's like even we're back. Going.
Oh, you're stabbing me!
You're stabbing me in the back.
That's a trope.
I've been taking these huggies and any money you got.
The long incantations trope is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to admit, it's a lot better than short incantations. Like, yeah, screw Harry Potter.
Right.
You need an incantation, it needs to be 500 words long.
Yeah, it needs to be. They did this in, you keep bringing up Fifth Element, but Ian Holm had to keep doing that sort of thing.
Yep. Yep.
In that movie. Why aren't we doing that one? We got to put that on the list, even though we all love it. But
it's not streaming.
Yeah. Should be.
I own every media.
That's another one of those movies.
DVD, Laserdisc, and PSP UMD.
Yeah. Wow. Everything but the what's his name parts. The stupid DJ guy, whatever his name is.
Chris Tucker.
I can't stand him. Drives
super green.
Just annoying. All right. Let's move on to some clips. We got a number of them. And we'll start here with this one, which happened early.
Wait. Bodies, they must be pulled up.
There are words which must be spoken from the Book of Solomon to ensure they do not rise again.
They've been hung and drowned. That's dead enough for me.
That's the hound there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Book of Solomon, like Songs of Solomon, that'd be funny. Because those are all, isn't that all like porn poems or something? Like, isn't that what it is? No, they are. If you read that those passages, it's like I dwell beneath your breasts and the free, you know, all that kind of talk.
Right.
It's weird.
And why would a witch go down in the water and stay there for the whole night just to kill the beast?
Oh, he's gonna come pull me out of the water anytime now.
He knows the rule. He knows he has to read those passages. I'm just way down here. And that, either way, I'm gonna be all like gross and pruny. It's gonna be great.
And what they didn't have to do with the movie, I mean, because it was that happened in 1235 AD in the city of Village.
Yeah. Right. The city of Village.
Yeah, that's what it was called.
Seriously. I missed that. That's great. All right. Early talk in the film.
Look at that rabble down there, Damon. Just waiting to meet the Lord.
I pity any man whose last face they see is yours, Felsen.
I pity any man who doesn't use his, you know what he does? He would say, instead of saying, it's that thing where you say,
no contractions.
No contractions. I can't go there. Instead, he'll say, I cannot go there. And somehow that made you period appropriate.
Right. We didn't use contractions in the 14th century.
No.
Just hearing that clip, though, reminded me of how much I enjoyed Ron Perlman's performance, like with his voice.
Yeah. He's always good. Speaking of Alien 4, by the way,
mm-hmm.
he's in that. He's great in that. I like Alien 4. I am one of the few. I realize it is not, you know, comparable to Alien 1 or even 3 for that matter, but it's, I like it.
Right.
Can we
absolutely different movies.
Yeah, that's true.
Can we think of the quintessential Ron Perlman film?
Yes.
Hellboy.
No. I like him in Hellboy, though, a lot, but I think it's probably, you know what ruined Hellboy 1 for me was Jeffrey Tambor. Yeah, I love that guy, but you can't have him in your Hellboy movie.
Yeah.
and that was right around the time he was in that show, so it was like, you know, Arrested Development or whatever.
Right.
I'm trying to think. Ron Perlman. I love him in everything.
I mean, Beauty and the Beast series? Breaking thing. Yeah.
That was back in the 80s, yeah.
I'm going to say his character in Alien 4 is my favorite.
It's pretty good. I have a tough time finding a Ron Perlman movie that I didn't like.
Yeah, he's great.
Oh, I'm sure you can.
His voice is great.
I said I had trouble. I didn't say it wasn't possible.
I think I'm going to call Police Academy Mission to Moscow the essential Ron Perlman film.
I do not even know he was in that. So now you've given me something new to watch. And we're not talking TV people. Everyone at home going, Sons of Anarchy, come on!
No.
We're not counting that. He was in Conan the Barbarian, which I didn't see. The new one.
What's good in that?
He's in poo movies, though. I mean, this sheesh.
Star Trek Nemesis.
Yeah. Oh, oh, there's the one I like. I mean, you can't tell it's him, but I love him in that.
Yeah, man, that's a good one.
I forgot about that. Great in that.
He didn't have enough lines.
Yeah.
Right. Did you know that Ron Perlman's a classically trained actor? True story. Classically trained.
So says his agent on the IMDb bio page.
Yeah. Good point. Man, he sure does a lot of voice work, which he should. Why would you have that voice and not do a bunch of it? Blade 2, he's great in.
He's actually
Reinhardt.
Really good. There's a movie called The Last Supper, which is about this group of hipsters that invite questionable people to out to dinner at their house, and they make a big dinner, and then their last thing they do is decide whether or not to poison them. And they poison all these bad people, and he's like this televangelist. Ron Perlman plays this televangelist, if I remember correctly, that they go back and forth on. And I think he's the one who figures out, based on all the the graves in the backyard, that that they're killing their dinner guests.
It's actually funny when he has an epiphany.
So I know this is breaking the rule, but the television series version of the the Western
Bonanza?
No, I can't even think straight. It's the one where it's
Magnificent Seven.
I keep wanting to say Seven Samurai, which is based on, but anyway. In the TV version, he's the preacher guy, and he's awesome in that show. It kept me watching every week back in the 90s, and it's on Netflix, that whole series, if people want to see kind of a cool TV Western.
I do, actually. That's Michael Biehn was in that film.
Yeah, yeah. He was great in that. He was the head dude.
TV show?
TV show, yeah. He was great in a bunch of other guys, but it was Michael Biehn and really Perlman that made it for me. Perlman, I think he played the part of Duck You Sucker guy. That we watched. I can't think of his name either. I can't think of any names tonight. Okay. It was the big spider or the big crab in Monsters, Inc., whatever his name is. You know who I mean. He used to play a bunch of cowboys. He's in Get Shorty.
John Travolta?
No.
I know who you're talking about. Older guy.
Yes.
Right?
He died.
Big, thick mustache.
He died not that long ago, and he was in Duck You Sucker.
He was James Coburn.
James Coburn. Oh,
that's it.
Oh, yeah. Why didn't you say the guy who made out with the girl and the guy at the end of...
Oh, right. I forgot about that. Yeah, whatever. Let's move on to another clip. I don't even know what this is. Oh, here's that. That's weird.
Keep your souls. Let me find a chicken.
I don't know. What do you mean? To eat it? Is that what he meant? He was hungry?
That's what he meant. He was hungry. Keep your souls.
Keep your souls. Let me find a chicken.
Okay.
Sounds like the end of the Leroy Jenkins video.
Come on. There was like cows everywhere. He could have punched a cow out and had something to eat.
Right.
At least I got chicken.
I thought it was a sacrifice reference, no?
No, I don't know.
Was it? I don't know. I don't
think
so.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's true.
I think he was hungry because he went into the first thing he did was smell the soup when he went into the cabin. Remember?
Oh, right. Yeah, he did, and he got all grossed out by it.
Oh, that's not chicken soup. Oh, dear Lord.
He was pulling a Brad Pitt in Seven when he got into the gluttony house. That scene will never leave my brain, by the way. Gluttony.
Blah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
The witch must be taken.
It is a curse called up from hell, brought upon us by the Black Witch.
The racist. Black Witch.
She was white. Don't let him forget.
I myself heard the confession.
Hold on, let me back up. You got to hear Nicolas Cage.
Black Witch. Okay, brought upon us by the Black Witch.
The Black Witch.
I myself heard the confession.
The witch must be taken to the Abbey of Severac.
Up on top of the freaking tower, yelling at...
Bring me the altar boy.
Yeah, that was gross. All right, how about... Oh.
The Black Witch.
I have that by itself now. That's
cooler.
That's his vibe to the whole movie.
The Black Witch.
Ugh, come on.
Let me try it on. Let me try that phrase on. The Black Witch. That's good. I like it.
You like that one? That's pretty good. All right, Nick. Ready? Action.
The Black Witch. No, let me try to say it. I'll say it cool.
Oh, the Black Witch.
Maybe you do it pretty good.
I could eat a Black Witch for hours.
Yeah. All right. Probably both I wrote here.
What do they do with deserters anyway?
Oh.
Hang them? Burn them?
Probably both.
Pegasus. I want to marry you, Pegasus.
Hold on, I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to remember my lines for Drive Angry. Hold on a second.
Well, it would have been around that same time, right?
Yeah.
That's hard, man. He's a hardworking dude. Okay, I found this weird sound in the movie. You know I like to find those.
Yeah.
And it was the voice of Hagrimmar or whatever while he was tied up on
the
thing.
Oh, I know what you're about to play.
And he kept making this voice sound that cracked me up. So it's super short. It's like a second long.
Yes.
You could play that one.
Where is that? There you go.
You could have strung that together a ton.
I could totally do that. You could totally do that. It's funny.
Did you also get the awesome scream in this movie?
I don't know. Maybe. How about kick me in the groin?
Perhaps you'd like to help me with fruit or kick me in the groin.
Oh. Who was that? I don't remember who that was. Who was that? Was that Hagrimmar? I don't know who that was. Maybe I have that screen. I have an angry acting clip. Maybe that's it. Well, we'll find out. Dude gets what? Oh, dude gets drink on his head? What? All right. Oh. Oh, on his hand, not his head. I wrote head. It's his hand.
Right, when they're pouring his burning hands.
Right, so listen to the sounds he makes. He goes.
Burns.
She did some of that too when she was getting strangled.
Oh.
Wait, I'm thinking of the wrong movie. Did a girl get strangled in this?
She strangles somebody.
Yeah, but somebody didn't. Did somebody not have their hand? Oh, I'm thinking of Game of Thrones.
Hmm.
The Stannis
scene. Is really hard to watch a movie like this while Game of Thrones is going on.
Or any movie like this, I agree.
Yeah,
kind of because I'm thinking, oh yeah, but no, I'm thinking of the red whatever mistress chick getting choked by Stannis P. Baratheon. He was pissed. Let's see, angry Nick Cage acting. Here you go, everybody. Write this one down.
Benevolent God, we're not asked such things of men.
I'm not even sure what he said.
Oh, okay. My ass stinks of men. I think
that's benevolent God. We're not ass such things of men.
I have an ass that stinks of men.
What the hell is he saying? I want to hear it again.
All right, one more time. Here we go.
Benevolent God. We're not ass such things of men.
I don't know. Benevolent God. He's like in the middle of saying something else.
Would not ask these.
Ask these things of men.
Benevolent God. We're not ass such things of men.
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
It's bad. He's like a mouthful of celery or something. It's bad.
And he just spit it all out, too. Yeah.
That is real angry acting.
Like, Mr. Cage, do you mind doing that one more time? This time maybe just enunciate it. Shut up! I'm not doing it again! It's not how I work. I'll be in my trailer. The Ritual.
That is a lie, witch.
De Balzac, The Ritual.
Okay, now I captured that because I wanted this part to be out by itself.
De Balzac.
That guy's name is De Balzac, isn't it?
De Balzac.
De Balzac.
De Balzac.
Every time he said it,
Balzac.
I was like, "You dude, don't make a name so close to sounding like De Balzac."
When especially French, De Balzac.
Anyway, there's that. And that's it for clips. That means...
That was it?
Oh, yeah. Well, dude, there was, it's not the kind of... Some of that dialogue was just...
It was horrible.
Blah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you missed a scream. In the end fight, there was an amazing scream to add to the scream montage.
Who was it? Who scream? Scream? Who scram?
Nick Cage. I don't remember. No, somebody screamed in there.
Are you sure it wasn't you, Randy? Were you sure?
I was also screaming, but that's every movie.
All right. Every film sack we do. All right. It is time for awards, everybody.
Hey.
Time for us to award this film with a few film sack awards for the week, and they begin and sound a little like this. Sorry, I'm delaying while I get to it. Here we go. Worst buddy cop movie of all time award.
Right.
The Ron Perlman once again makes something sort of watchable award. And they barely got this one. The best use of a fancy cross-shaped key as a way to nail your hand to the side of a wagon award. Good job on that one, guys. It was a tough fight in the end, but they won.
How do you unlock your cage if you've just stabbed a guy in the hand, nailed with the key?
You
right?
don't.
Right.
You
say, keep your hand there for a second. Let me unlock this. Okay, now. Here, let's put it back in.
All right, now give me your key back. Okay, now let's stick it back in your hand. Yeah, it's pretty stupid. Star Trek connection, Ron Perlman as the Viceroy in Nemesis. Awesome, awesome, underrated Trek movie, first of all, but a great performance. Totally worth watching. If you want to see him put his hands on Bane himself and do like a Vulcan mind meld kind of thing to his head, that's really great. Tom Hardy is who I'm referring to, and that's a fantastic movie. Tom Hardy's first film role, by the way, was Star Trek Nemesis. Soundtrack track great. I'd give it an S for standard as all hell.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing special, yeah. Nothing bad, but just nothing special about it.
Not memorable, that's for sure.
Nope.
Right.
Maybe another one that was purchased from other things. There wasn't a reason to compose an all original score for this film, but I didn't look it up.
It's like some kind of royalty free stock thing somebody made.
Royalty free. I don't think they went that far. Actually, they credit Atlee Overson with an original score. Mm-hmm. And this is somebody who does some actual scoring. They did the first Iron Man film. So,
okay. Oh, well, I like the first Iron Man film's music. So he got better. No, he got worse. I'm sorry. That came later.
That's true.
Yeah. I forget how recent this film is. It really does have the taste of an older movie, like a movie that came out in the 90s or something. It doesn't feel like 2011 when I'm watching that thing. Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's sum it up in a Twitter post. 140 characters or less, you know the drill. You guys know what to do. Let's start with Randy. What do you got?
Season of the Witch. Two holy warriors give up on killing and move on to their retirement job. Killing. I've got an inverse Dunaway to fight plague. Do drugs.
Very nicely done. Brian Dunaway.
Season of the Witch. Ghost Rider and Hellboy transport a suspected witch across 14th century plagued somewhere. Turns out it's the devil. Spoilers.
I didn't think about this as the only time we'll get a Hellboy Ghost Rider crossover. Mm-hmm. That's great. Right. That's how you guys know. That's how I see the what was the Nolan movie where it's like about magic and the magic show with
the Prestige.
Right. Prestige. Yeah. The Prestige is the only time you're ever going to get Batman versus Wolverine ever in a film.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
ever. So remember that next time you watch it, which is a great movie, by the way.
I don't know. The Avengers has given me hope that there will be like the mother of all crossovers eventually.
How cool would that be? What would be the mother? Wolverine versus Batman? That would be pretty big.
Avengers versus JLA.
Holy snikes. Have they even done that in the comics? I know they've had individual stuff, but have both teams crossed over, really?
Yes.
Are you sure?
There's also some Fantastic Four movies behind us. You know, that could be a huge crossover.
They're doing a new one. They hired that guy from the Chronicle movie to do a new Fantastic Four, according to Steven Schleicher.
The idea of a Marvel versus DC movie writes itself because they would all start fighting and then find out that they all have a bigger common enemy, right?
Right. It would end up, Darkseid or something.
Right. Thanos would.
Sure.
That's what I'm saying.
Thanos, yeah. Mm-hmm. You'd have. Who would they pick, though? Would they have those guys joining up? Like Thanos and Eater of Worlds and that stupid squatty guy in the little ball? Galactus. All those guys would get together. And who's the little guy? You love him, Brian.
Cosmic. MODOK.
MODOK, yeah. MODOK. MODOK could have the whole thing up.
That's right.
That's a great idea. He's DC, isn't he, MODOK?
No, MODOK is Marvel.
Is he Marvel? Okay, I forget. Yeah. He seems DC.
He does seem DC. He's very Jack Kirby. I mean, there's no, you know, him and Galactus are the Jack Kirby using every brush in his
arsenal.
The funny thing about it is over on the Marvel side, you have the Avengers and the Fantastic Four and you have the X everybody. Mm-hmm. On the DC side, it's just JLA. They're the only people I want to see on this fight.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I would. I can't think of anybody else either. Who else would there be? There's nobody else. It's not going to be
other Justin. There's JLA, and then there's Teen Titans. Would be great.
They'd be pretty good. But there's such an extension of it.
They don't belong in this. It's like Thunderbolts. They don't belong in this film.
Ooh, them's fighting words for somebody out there.
I know. Cat Hunter.
Yeah.
Just can't stand it when I put down DC.
Oh, really? She's a total Marvel head?
No. Right? She's a total DC head.
Oh, she loves DC. Right. Oh, puts down DC. I got it. Oh, that's interesting. Right. All right, well, she can enjoy Aqualad to her endless delight. Kat, if you're listening, you know I think you're great. All right, moving on.
Oh, hey, can I do a Twitter post?
That's what I mean. Moving on to Brian Ibbett, who didn't do his yet. 140 characters or less. You know the drill. Go for it, Brian Ibbett.
It's all this buildup. Season of the Witch, a movie that would be great if you put just about anyone else in the two lead roles. Riggs and Murtaugh, Jackie Chan and Owen Wilson, even Buzz Lightyear and Woody.
Oh, that's a movie I'd see.
That's right.
Buzz and Woody take a witch somewhere. That'd be fantastic.
Right. That's not the best title, but yeah.
Characters from Disney's Cars?
Woody and Buzz Lightyear take a witch somewhere. from Disney Pixar.
Yeah. Right? Like Owen Wilson and Larry the Cable Guy.
Just oh, great, my God. It
would have been awesome.
It's a better movie. It's a better movie. Well, here's
to France.
Yeah, exactly. Here's what I learned while you sat in, or while you tried to figure out if that chick in the wagon was evil or not. Jeez. Mm. Wake up, everybody.
Figured it out very quickly.
Anyone for Wolf on a Stick? Hey,
man, they were stabbing them.
I know, right? Hey, our CGI kind of sucks. How about we film everything at night?
Mm.
And lastly, the problem with your Bible verses is they're just too damned long. And that's what I learned while your chick was in the wagon. All right, let's move on to some emails. I got a couple of these. They're real beauts. One of them comes from a guy's name I didn't get, so I apologize. All I have is thank you on the end. But it says, hey, Scott and team, I read somewhere that a decapitated head can potentially remain lucent for 8 to 10 seconds before lack of oxygen will render the poor person unconscious. Thank you. And I didn't get his name. So remember the conversation last week about decapitations
right.
and death and all that? And you guys said, right. oh, yeah, just hack my head off. I don't want right. to have that 8 to 10 seconds. That's longer than it takes me to fall off that cliff we talked about.
I'm pretty sure those 8 to 10 seconds, really nothing going on except for shock.
But you've got nerve endings in your neck.
Which would be the only thing hurting.
And people have phantom pain when they lose a leg. Why wouldn't you have whole body phantom pain?
It only lasts 7 seconds in cerebral.
And no one's, and they can't tell you how bad it is, so we just don't know. At least jumping off that giant cliff, I got 6 seconds of a big fast ride, and then boom, I'm gone. I still say I don't think decapitation.
Have you ever? Yeah, I mean, you know what? We talk about that too. But you think that you're instantly going to die when you hit the ground. Your body's, I mean, you're going to have massive internal damage, but your brain still may be functioning for...
I think your brain's going to turn off pretty much instantly. That's like an off switch.
Right?
I would hope. That's why I'm thinking that's the way to go, because your brain would just turn off. But if you go, if you hack the head off, the brain's going...
See, this is why I like being dead center bullseye struck by a meteor. It just, it's gonna be instant death. And right before it happens, you're going to have this moment of pure clarity.
Yeah. Like
right before it happens.
How about vaporization?
That's just what I'm thinking. Vaporization would be much cooler. Even though it creeps me out, like in Star Trek when they vaporize people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think you're right. It may just be the best way to go.
Okay, best movie vaporization goes to Steven Spielberg's War of the Worlds for me, when they were zapping people.
Yeah.
Because then the they're just gone, just puff. Into red mist. That's what I want. Yeah. Yeah.
Tom Cruise sucking you in
as
he runs.
Yeah, getting a mouthful of somebody's red mist. Yeah. red mist. New from Mountain Dew. All right. Next email comes to us from Albert in Lakewood, California. Lakewood C is what he put, I assume, California. He says, okay, so first off, I had an incredibly long week, and it ended Sunday night about 9 p.m. I was excited to get home and watch End of the Line. Before I turned on to the almighty film sack, so he wanted to see the movie before he heard us. I'm on a budget, so my hot dog buns and Smarties was all I had to watch End of the Line with, so here's my film sack listening routine. Sit in my office chair, turn at 90 degrees, flip on my Sega Genesis, press play on my iTunes, and begin to play Toe Jam and Earl. Everything is going fine until I hear Kevin Bacon and the Oatmeal Man star in this movie. I put my game on pause. I listen closely for anything remotely the same to my viewing of End of the Line. I'm at 5 minutes and 21 when I realize I jumped on a plane headed for a religious island of crazed virgins. He wrote virgins, but it's virgins, who try to kill everybody with a cross dagger. Then they turn them into demons. I was sort of excited. I even wrote down a few tropes from the time. And now that's 12. Now it's 12:52 a.m. I guess I'll just eat crunch and watch reruns of Roseanne in my underwear. Cheers, Albert. So I'm still not sure what the hell happened.
Awesome.
What was he watching?
What? Yeah.
Like it. Was it the documentary that I almost watched?
Well, it sounds like he was describing Season of the Witch there, too.
I don't know what happened.
No, it sounds like he watched a movie called End of the Line that was not this one.
Yeah.
Right?
I guess, because everything is going fine until I hear Kevin Bacon and Oatmeal Man star in this movie. I put on my game on pause. All right, so End of the Line. I'm at 5:21. I realize I jumped on a plane headed for the religious islands of crazed virgins who are trying to kill everyone with cross daggers. I don't know.
I like it.
This must be what happened there.
Wicker Man? I don't know. That's what it sounds like to me.
Oh,
but
maybe Wicker Man. I don't know.
That's what the movie sounds like.
Albert, you've got to find some, you got to get some help. I don't know what's going on. Toe Jam and Earl,
we care. There are people that care about you.
I love that. Just flipping on a Genesis and playing Toe Jam and Earl. That's great. Thanks for your emails. You can send those to filmsack@gmail.com. Please keep them coming. We'd really appreciate it. All right, we only have one clip from Fletcher. I'm going to play it now. You heard it at the top of the show. You guys didn't, but someone else did. And here it is again.
You ever get the feeling God has too many enemies?
It's a great question, Scott Fletcher. I play that knowing that he will be here in two and a half short weeks wow. for Nerdtacular 2012. Ladies and gentlemen, it is freaking right around the damn corner. There is nothing you can do about it now. It is coming. We're doing He-Man live at the event. He-Man with freaking Dolph freaking Lundgren in it. Mm-hmm. That's happening.
Who the hell is King Willie?
Wrong one.
Hold, sinners!
There you go. Click the wrong one there. Looking forward to that. If you're coming, you're going to love it. If you're not, we will have this thing's being taped and not only videotaped. I keep saying taped. It's being videographied. It's being documented on film.
There you go.
I think you were better off with tape.
I think you're right. And it's being done by people who do TED Talks and stuff at Comic-Con. And like, it's a big deal. So I can promise you this. If you're not able to come to the event, either DVD copies will be available for cheap. We really don't even make any money on them. But something like that on the store. Or we'll have streamed segments. So the entire film sec part will be streamed. And we'll record it on audio and put it on the feed as well. So just letting everybody know. We're doing all of that. This is a movie that isn't streaming, so this is the only stinker about it. It's not one you can just hop on streaming. Last year, that was true, too. Remember, Tremors went away like the week before
right.
N11, and we couldn't do anything about it. It's kind of like that, so just think of it that way. But yeah, just very excited. Excited to see all three of you. I'm excited to see the, you know, all the people coming. It's going to be a blast.
Mm-hmm.
So tune in soon for that. And I don't know what's going on next week. We're going to try to do a show. I think we will probably get one in. But if we don't kill us. But I think
squeeze
we will.
Squeeze it in.
Oh, what is our next one? Next one's something called Order of the Black Eagle. I don't know what the hell that is. What is that?
Is this another one that none of us are going to claim to have
played? Right, exactly. I don't know what that one is.
I don't know what it is at all. Let's look it up real fast.
This is so this is a relatively new film, 2007, I want to say.
Okay.
And no, I'm sorry. It's thinking of something else. Thinking down the line. Order of the Black Eagle is 25 years old.
No, 87, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Stars Ian Hunter, right?
Yeah. CK Bibby. Who's CK Bibby?
No one has not a single person has a IMDb
no picture
photo.
Or a picture of the nothing like a movie poster.
Is this even still on Netflix? I think someone should check.
It's like I'm looking at a GeoCities page that's all text.
where's the rotating skull gif? Directed by Worth Keeter. Worth Keeter, what are you doing? Written by Phil Bethrens. I've decided why I'm not in Hollywood. My name is too standard. You can't work in Hollywood unless you sound like Worth Keeter, Bill Bethrens, or that shut guy we talked about today. But anyway, yeah. What's this about, Randy? Do you even know? What's the story?
It's about a sort of super agent, like a James Bond type guy.
Right. Okay.
And a, you know what? I don't want to say anymore. We're going to watch this film. It's going to be great.
All right. I don't want to say anymore. We're going to make it special.
By the way, Brian Dunaway suggested this film.
Oh, did I really? I'm actually looking at it now. Yeah. The description's pretty good.
Oh, look at these pictures. I'm looking on IMDb or, Google Images, and there's a baboon in this movie, and there's this.
Oh, that's what I was stopping short of saying.
So. Oh, there's a fat old guy with a patch. Okay. We're in. It looks British.
Yeah, so it's Order of the Black Eagle next week. Then we're going to do Pamela Anderson's Barbed Wire, finally.
That'll be the
waiting
week.
15 years to watch this movie.
That'll be the week after N12, right? Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And Night of the Comet.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Ooh, I love Night of the Comet. That's a great movie.
Yeah, that's that's ripe for a remake, too, I think. That'd be a good one. Talk about your apocalyptic future. I'd love it. Watch that movie. It's good. All right. Well, there you have it, folks. That's us. That's it. That's then. Order of the Black Eagle. Be there or be square. That's next week. Assuming something weird doesn't happen. I'm just, hedge my bets. Filmsack.com is the website. Do you want to visit and do it often? Check out our show notes, links to forums and whatnot. It's all there. Email us at filmsack@gmail.com. And finally, you can find us on Twitter. Leave us a review on iTunes if you'd be so kind. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time.
Hey, where'd all those monks go?
where did those monks go?
Right, this guy up and walked away. Oh, my dear Lord. Well, my dear Lord.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.